Well, good morning. It's great to have you at Central today. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing our summer series on prayer and learning to pray in the way that Jesus taught us to pray. And a couple of weeks ago, we started looking at the Lord's Prayer, and I quoted J.I. Packer, who had suggested that the prayer that we find is the Lord's Prayer is a little bit more like answers to questions that God would put to us. And we pray the answers back to him. So in a way, these words that Jesus taught us is not only how to pray, but even more so, how do we have our hearts aligned with God's heart? How do we have our loves transformed so that we begin to be concerned with that which concerns God? It begins to help us have our hearts transformed to believe what God says about the world, but more than just believe. God begins to transform us so that our lives are lived as God-shaped people in the world. So today, we turn our attention to provision. God, we need your help. We need your provision in our lives. We need bread. The Lord has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and he teaches us to pray for it as we ask him for our daily bread. So hear the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 9. Pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that you have loved us and given us your word to shape our hearts. We pray that you would teach us to pray. Teach us to long for your satisfaction that you provide for our souls. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at this point in the Lord's Prayer, some of us may be wondering, why is this petition here? Why is this clause even here? Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, we go from the big, huge thematic prayers of, Lord, your name be honored. May your name and your character be set apart as the most important thing in my life. Hallowed be your name. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, use me. Use me as an instrument in your kingdom. Use me to make earth a little more like heaven. Come down with your righteousness and truth and compassion and justice and mercy and kindness and surround this world so that earth becomes more like heaven. Big prayers, huge, huge God-oriented prayers. And now we come to and give us some bread. And how mundane we might think. We might think, what a pedestrian request in the middle of huge Godward-oriented requests. I think we may feel that way because this is the one petition in the prayer that we feel like we can handle ourselves. I've got this one. I mean, I know how to go to the store. I know how to get bread. I know how to pick it up. And without even thinking about it, I've got this one handled. We don't think so much about give us this day our daily bread in our world. Even more so, very few in this room will ever struggle with involuntary hunger. We just don't know what that feels like. We don't know what it feels like to have to cry out for because we don't have food to put on the table. And for many of us in the room, our problem is just the opposite. We have too much bread. We've got so much bread that it's killing us. Our pantries are stuffed with pastas and breads, and we aren't quite sure why we're even praying this sometimes. Give us this day our daily bread. I've got this one covered. I mean, my pantry is stuffed, and we begin to wonder why. Why have this kind of prayer that feels a little bit small-minded, that follows the giant petitions of honoring God's name and having his kingdom come in this world that the earth will become more like heaven? Well, Jesus leads us beyond mundane. Jesus leads us in a big prayer, a huge petition that challenges our sense of self-sufficiency in our world and in our lives. Let's take it apart a little bit this morning. I don't have a clever outline for you today. We're just going to follow after it word by word. Give us daily bread. So let's start with give. the most basic level, we ask our Heavenly Father to give, we are forced to acknowledge something that's true in our lives. And the truth is that we are dependent. We are radically dependent upon God. And yet so often, I don't pray about some things like give us our daily bread because I don't feel like I need God for that. I have it handled. I can accomplish some of these things on my own. I can acquire some of these things on my own. Some of those things that I feel like I don't need God for are little. And sometimes in arrogance, they're really big things. And yet Jesus is teaching us here. We pray, give, because the most fundamental thing that's true about our being children of God is that we must receive from God in a humble fashion, with palms up, open to receive humbly what we need from Him. When we speak, give, Lord, give to us, we're praying back to Him in honesty about our true dependence upon Him. He's taking dead aim at our sense of self-sufficiency. We truly do need Him, even though we can't see how deeply we need Him sometimes. I mean, after all, although we know how to pull the package of pasta or bread out of our pantry or off the store shelf, do any of us have the power over the weather or the sun to make the grain grow? Do any of us have power over the rain to make it nourish the earth so that the grain grows there? Or how about the skills? Where do those come from to be able to develop an oven that cooks things more efficiently? Where do the skills come from that we employ in our jobs, that we use to earn the money that we use to buy the bread? We're dependent upon God all the way around, not only for the bread itself, but the skills that we put to use to get the bread, to acquire the bread. We are completely dependent upon God. All of this is God dependent. And it may be that aligning our hearts to this truth matters more for us as wealthy Western culture Christians. And in a call to purpose to confess our dependence upon God for the mundane things in this life, in order that we cultivate a heart of gratitude. When we feel like we don't need Him, when we lose our sense of dependence upon God, we become to walk in our pride. And when we walk in pride, thinking we don't need the Lord, we lose gratitude and we lose the wonder at all of the blessings He provides in our lives. But the Lord teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread, so that we develop our attitude of humble reliance, of gratitude upon the Lord for His provision. We pray this way, that we would humbly receive all that God has for us, the blessings that God has for us. And remember, when we pray this way, where we start with our Father in heaven, our powerful Father, our unlimited Father, our generous Father, the Father who loves to hear His children say, give us what we need. And yet, isn't it true that we have to acknowledge fathers don't always give their kids what they ask for? Isn't that true? We don't always receive what we ask for from God or from our earthly parents. I mean, think about it. Just because you ask the Lord, it's a perfectly fine thing to ask the Lord for a primo spot in the carpool line, that doesn't mean that He's going to give it to you, right? Or just because you ask God for the Bob Uecker parking space in front of the store so you can go in and get out really easy. God loves you, but that doesn't mean He's going to give you that parking space every time. He may not give you the things that you want. He may not give you the things that you ask for, even when they are serious things. Things that He tells us in His Word that He loves. Things that He tells us in His Word that He wants for us. Things like the end of our suffering. Sometimes He doesn't answer that prayer, that He gives us the end of our suffering. Sometimes He doesn't bring an end to injustice and pain in this world. Things that the Bible tells us Jesus came to bring. He came to bring victory over sin and death and the devil. He won it in His condemnation in our place on the cross and His victory in the resurrection. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But we don't always see it at work in our prayer lives, do we? Maybe He's not providing for you the healing that you keep asking for. Day after day after day. Or maybe He isn't providing for you the freedom from sin, from what the Puritans used to call the besetting sins, those sins that you hate in your heart, and yet you want to be rid of it, and you can't seem to get past it. It's a temptation, a sin that has laid hold of your life, and you just can't break free. And everybody in here has at least one besetting sin. There's something that we struggle with, we hate in our lives, but we just can't break free from it. And even though we pray day after day after day, maybe he has not answered to give us freedom from those sins. Or the reconciliation in a broken relationship. You humbly call out, Lord, would you repair this friendship? Would you repair this marriage? Would you repair this relationship with my siblings? And he doesn't say yes. And we wonder why. Why? You ever wonder why some of our prayers are answered with no? I know I do. I mean, the Apostle Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, but God said no. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed that if it can, that this cup of judgment pass away from me. How do we make sense when God says no to wonderful prayers, the things that he tells us he longs to bless us with? Well, I think the answer to that question comes when we remember that God is our good Father and we are merely children. He can see things, he knows things about our lives that we can never see or know. And sometimes the prayers that we make, the requests that we make, don't get us into the path or along the line that God wants to bless us. Like, for example, think about what you hear your kids or other kids ask for. One of my kids once asked if we could live at Six Flags. We could eat cotton candy. We could not go to school ever again. Sorry, Central Christian School teachers here. And a good parent knows when to say no. Because the parent has a bigger vision, a grander vision for life, what this child's life can be, what this child's life should be. And getting there isn't going to come from living at Six Flags and eating cotton candy and never going to school. It's just not going to happen that way. And our Heavenly Father also has a grand vision for your life. A vision of blessing in your life. And sometimes what we ask him for isn't going to get us where the Lord has determined our life's path to be. It's not going to get us to the blessing. So sometimes we ask and we trust and we plead, and yet God says no. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you find yourself demanding of God. But God, I know best. I know what should happen. I know what's best for me. Maybe I'm the only one here who struggles to grasp that God knows better than I know what's best for me. But friends, the truth is that our Father knows what will bring to pass his grand and glorious vision in our lives. And sometimes it's not what we ask for that brings about his grand and glorious vision. P.T. Forsyth, a 19th century Scot theologian, once wrote this: "We shall come one day to heaven, where we shall gratefully know that God's great refusals were sometimes the true answers to our truest prayers." One day we're going to come to heaven and see that the things that we asked for were not the things that God blessed us with, because he wanted something entirely different for us. Or not P.T. Forsyth from the 19th century, how about contemporary theologian Garth Brooks, who said, "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers," right? Some of God's greatest gifts in our lives are when he says no. When he says no. Let me try to summarize it like this. I think that if we knew what our Father knows, then I think we would find ourselves praying in line with how he answers our prayers, maybe instead of the things that we ask him for. Put it a different way. If we knew what our Heavenly Father knows, then we would probably find ourselves praying to receive what he has determined in his goodness to give to us. It's hard, friends. I know it may be even impossible on this side of heaven to pray that way and have that kind of trust, absolute trust in God. And yet Jesus calls us to pray, and pray boldly, to pray powerfully, to pray honestly, because your Heavenly Father loves you so much that he is determined to give you what is best, even when you ask for something different. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much that he's never going to let you go, and he's going to bring his children safely home with him in heaven. And he's going to bring us there by his own power, even if we don't know what to ask for to get us there. Friends, when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we pray knowing that he knows exactly what is best for his children. And we are completely dependent, humbly dependent, and reliant upon him. Let's give. How about us? What does he mean when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our bread? Did you notice that there's a plural? He doesn't teach us to pray, give me my bread. He teaches us to pray, give us our bread. When we pray for this kind of provision, we bring not only our needs before the Lord, but we bring the needs of others too. We have our prayer with our eyes open, looking around to the people in our lives, our friends, our neighbors, our community, our fellow pewmates. And we remember their needs before the Heavenly Father too. Give us our daily bread. This also affects the way that we should pray for the world. Remember the previous request, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are the ways we might ask, Lord, or that the world around us does not reflect your will as it is in heaven? And we intercede. Our world is filled with physical needs. Our world is filled with emotional needs. Our world is taken captive by sin and corruption. Our neighbors, our family, our friends are captivated by sin and corruption. And the Lord teaches us to intercede for them. To ask the only one who has the power to change another person's heart. Jesus, would you do something in the hearts of the people of this world? And yet sometimes it's so much more comfortable to stand back and point our finger and accuse the world. Sometimes it's easier to point our finger and scold the people of the world. When Jesus calls us to be a people of prayer, to intercede for the people of the world, to intercede that our Heavenly Father, who knows what's best, our Heavenly Father who has the power to change hearts and lives, that he would reach and save the lost and the broken, that he would heal the places that are broken and busted in our community. Rather than accuse and scold, the Lord calls us to devote ourselves to interceding for broken people and broken places in the world. Give us our bread. But there's another aspect of the plural here. Sometimes we intercede for those around us, and sometimes we participate in being the answers to those prayers. Give us our daily bread is a community request, and it takes a community to produce an answer to that prayer. I mean, after all, think about it. The farmer plants and harvests the grain, and perhaps a different person grinds the grain in Jesus' day into flour and then bakes it, and still a third person may take it to a market and sell it for money in the community. In our own world, still another person markets that bread to consumers. So there are people who design flyers that go or stuffed into your mailboxes to teach you about where bread is on sale. There are other people who drive the delivery trucks to get the bread from the bakery to the grocery store. There are other people who stock the shelves with the bread that you come and buy at the grocery store. So as we pray, give us our daily bread, God is putting to death our sense of self-sufficiency. We need him and we need one another. Because quite often God intervenes in our lives. God answers our prayers with the hands and the feet of other people around us. God uses us in one another's lives to be the tangible answers to the prayers that we make to him. Have you ever thought about your work that way? Have you ever thought about your labor in that way, that your labor may be God's answer to another person's prayer? Have you ever thought about your workplace like that? I mean, so those who work in design or construction or building could be God's answer to the prayer of someone who is longing for good shelter. Or a maintenance area, a maintenance person can be an answer to God's prayer, a prayer to the Lord to ask for safe and clean shelter. Someone who's dependent on God to receive it. The people who design and build and maintain these structures are tangible answers to the prayers that these people are making. Or those who run or manage or own a business can be an answer to that prayer. Give us our daily bread by providing dignifying work and a fair wage by which your employees can buy bread. Or another attorney or police officer or medical personnel can be the answer to a mother's prayer to keep her child safe and healthy. Friends, sometimes we become part of God's answers to the prayers that we make. The prayers of give us our daily bread, give us exactly what we need. We become part of God's answer to those prayers when we share what we have. We share materially, we share relationally, we even share ourselves vocationally. What skills has God given you to put to work and be a tangible answer to a prayer of one of the people of God. I want you to consider that this morning, you may be your Heavenly Father's generous answer to the desperate prayer of another person seated in a pew around you today. He may be designed to use you, either materially or relationally or emotionally or vocationally. He may be using you as his hands and feet to answer the desperate prayer of someone else in this congregation today. Does that change how you think about your labor? Does it change how you pray about your own work? Our prayers can move beyond, get me through this job that I hate. Just help me get to the weekend. It becomes something far more fulfilling. Father, supply the needs of those who cry out to you by using me to produce something they need. What a far better way to think about our work. A far better way to think about the way that we can be God's answers to prayers of people in our lives. Lord, use me and use my work, use my labor as an agent of your provision in this world today. We pray as a recipient of God's provision, and we also pray as a resource in God's hand to make that provision. Give us, we're in this community together, those who need, those who have open hands humbly before God, as well as those who are resources in God's hands to provide for people who have needs. So give us, and finally, our daily bread. Give us what we need to survive. Give us our daily bread, not for the week, not for the month, not for the year, but give us our daily bread. The request is, give me enough to get through the day in a culture that tended to live one day at a time. They needed bread. They needed that food that sustained life every day because they didn't have a freezer in which to put bread and keep it for a couple of weeks. They didn't have preservatives to make it last. Bread is one of those building blocks for life, whether it's a cracker or a loaf or ground flat into pita or naan or some other type of bread. It's one of those building blocks all over the world that sustains life. And in the ancient world, people needed it every day. They needed bread for the coming day in order to survive. And that's what this prayer really is. Father, provide for us what we need to survive each day. Would you provide for the coming day what we're going to need to survive in that coming day? Would you offer it to us? Would you give it to us? Would you provide it for us? And there's one other thing that's implied by that request. It's contentment. Lord, would you enable me to be satisfied at what you provide? Would you free me, Lord, to trust that what you provide, what you answer, how you give me my daily bread, it's going to be enough to satisfy what I need to survive? Sometimes God seems to provide just enough at just the right time with nothing left over, right? Sometimes I've heard it put like this. God is never early, and he's never late, but it sure seems like he's trying to be late. Sure seems like he's waiting just past the right time before he gives us what we need. He gives us that daily bread, that thing that I need to survive. But I don't like living that way. Do you like living that way? I don't like living having to rely on God's provision every day. I would much rather have a big pile. I'd much rather have plenty and I can just go to the pile and get it whenever I want because I struggle to trust that God is going to provide for me what I need at the moment. I trust to believe that God will give us what we need and what he provides for me is going to be enough. Are any of you ever like that? Ever struggle to contentedly receive what God has offered? I think this might be one of the hardest places in our culture to align our hearts with the Lord's heart, because our lives are filled with discontentment. Our culture disciples us for discontentment. While we were on vacation last week, Missy and I watched a couple of episodes of TV shows on HGTV. You know, the show with Chip and Joanna Gaines, and they renovate this house and they make it beautiful, take it from just a pile of rubble, and it ends up being amazing. And then we watch this other show of these two brothers, they're twins. I don't know the name of the show, but they fix up a house and they sell it and they get you way more money than you ever thought you were going to get for your house. And as I was watching these shows, I felt it rising in my soul. I felt the discontentment just coming up and up and up. And I began to think and then actually say things out loud like, why don't we have that? Why does our house not look like that? Why do our projects never turn out like that? Why do our projects always end up having to triple the budget, but they meet the budget every time? This is amazing. Why does this happen this way? And I commented to Missy, I think they need to change the name of this TV channel. It's not HGTV. This should be Discontentment TV. Because that's what it's doing. It's breeding discontentment in me. I don't want what I've been given. I want something better. I want something more. And our culture does that all the time. The advertising industry is all built on and predicated on the idea that what I have, you need in order for your life to feel fulfilled. And so I'm going to create this crafty program. I'm going to create a crafty advertisement that makes you feel discontent unless you have this thing that I'm advertising. Psychologists tell us they've begun to correlate depression in our students with their use of Instagram and other social media platforms. Because kids post the highlights of their lives on these social media platforms, and everybody else is left to think, my life isn't great like that. It's breeding depression in our students. Our culture is discipling us for discontentment. The news media, the 24-hour cable news cycle, is all built on making you feel discontent. That's what it's all about. Doesn't matter if it's coming from the left or the right. That's what it's all about. The blogosphere is all about making you feel discontent and finding the one person who has the answer to stop the sky from falling. So the blogosphere is all built on that. Our world disciples us. Our world is shaping us into people of discontentment, which is why Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, teach my heart to trust that what you provide for my life and my soul is truly what I need to survive today. And teach my soul to be content and satisfied with whatever you have provided. I don't know about you, but I need that prayer every day. Because I don't have the power to be content on my own. I don't have the strength to fight against this discipleship of our culture that bombards us with these messages of discontentment all the time. I need the Holy Spirit to help. I need Jesus to help me because I can't fight discontentment on my own, and neither can you. We come back to where we started, humbly before the Lord, asking him to do work in our hearts and our lives that we don't have the capacity to do. Give us what we need. Of course, friends, we have to realize that even the best bread isn't going to satisfy our deepest longings and our deepest desires. Because the bread that we most need, the bread that will satisfy our souls, is Jesus himself. In John chapter 6, after Jesus had fed a crowd and they were asking him for more, he said, I am the bread of life. Jesus has come to satisfy our deepest hungers, our deepest longings that go far beyond the cravings of our bellies. He's come to satisfy our bodies and our souls by giving himself to us. He came and offered his life on the cross to satisfy judgment that I deserve, judgment that you deserve for our sin. He came and gave his life and his blood to pay for and wash away our guilt and our condemnation and our shame. He came to wash us clean so that we could be satisfied with the fullness of relationship and intimacy with our Creator. The deepest longings of our hearts are to have eternal fellowship with the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who made us to have fellowship with him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst, for anyone who looks on the Son and believes shall have eternal life. Do you know him today? Do you know that Jesus, who has offered himself to be the bread of your life, the true satisfaction of your soul? Friends, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We pray knowing that our Heavenly Father has a generous, generous heart. He provides bread for our lives, and he's provided the true bread of life that will satisfy our souls for all eternity. Let me close with this. Phil Ryken, in his comment on this verse, quoted the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. He talked about bringing his family with him and being there with his own children and his own experience as a father. This is a quote from his journal. Hudson Taylor wrote, "I am taking my children with me, and I notice that it is not difficult for me to remember that the little ones need breakfast in the morning, dinner at midday, and something before they go to bed at night. Indeed, I could not forget it, and I find it impossible to suppose that our Heavenly Father is less tender or less mindful than I. I do not believe that our Heavenly Father will ever forget his children. I am a very poor father," he wrote, "but it's not my habit to forget my children. God is a very, very good father, and neither is it his habit to forget his children. Give us this day our daily bread." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you love us. We are grateful that you have taught us, you have modeled for us, that we can cry out to you from our desperation, and you provide. Lord, we pray that you would help us have hearts that trust in you, that humbly rely upon you, that realize our dependence on you, even when you don't answer our prayers the ways that you hope. Would you deepen our sense of trust in you because you are good? We pray that you would develop contentment within our souls. When everything in our lives is working against it, Lord, make us into contented people, ready to receive what you have for our survival for the coming day. We pray, Lord, that you would enable us to love you and trust you because you have so loved and provided for us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.